You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I am Lance White, the Zany Mystic. The Zany Mystic with a cough. Tonight, I am delighted to have an old friend on the show, Michael D. Eggleston. Michael is a student of esoteric occult teachings, philosophy, and alternative history. He is a seeker of truth, political activist, and researcher on secret societies. He is the author and writer for awakenedone.blogspot.com on consciousness and ancient wisdom teachings. He is the owner of Inner Vision Crystals and has written a new book titled Esoteric Occult Philosophy, Consciousness, and Realization of Truth. So let's welcome Mike to the show and find out more. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Lance. Good to be here.
Good. Well, when did you first begin to get a question the consensus reality and start to wonder if, the reality that we were seeing was the real one or if there might be alternatives?
I've always kind of questioned it my entire life. Always been, aware of a sixth sense, maybe more intuitive. Just always been aware that, something wasn't quite right with the status quo reality that we're all sold. And then about 6 or 7 years ago, I really started to accept it and to really look into it and research it. And since then, it's just like a light switch went on and there's been no looking back.
Well, that's kind of how it was for me too. I'm pretty sure that I was empathic as a child.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us were, or are, and then life kind of wallpapers over, those intuitive senses. But like you said, once the light switch goes on, you start getting into this stuff, and you can't go back.
Yeah, there's no turning it off or ignoring it.
Yeah. Now, what were some of the things that you discovered along the way that you found to be shocking or revealing?
I think that once I learned to start quieting my mind and actually started going within and meditating and trying to get more in touch with nature and away from the whole bogged down material aspect of things, just the intuition and everything started flowing, and the third eye kind of just opened up, and definitely had a few experiences, I think like we all have, that, just make you really pay attention and just realize that there is more to this reality than, we're sold, and that, there is a spiritual dimension of, energy and consciousness that is accessible to everybody, but, once I began to have more experiences like that, there was no denying it anymore, and then there was just no turning back.
One of the keys that unlocked the door was meditation for you.
Correct, yeah.
Now, you also mentioned in your book that, we're in a certain period of time that ties to various prophecies in the Mayan calendar.
Right.
And I was delighted to see that you are using both dates as
yeah.
a window. The October 28th, 2011 date, which I think is Kalaman's.
Yeah, Kalaman was the first one that really, because he works with a lot of the Mayan elders.
Yeah.
And, him and Ian Lunghold, who passed away, who gave some just amazing speeches on the Mayan calendar, this was the date that the Mayan elders had been talking about, saying, well, the Gregorian calendar is a little bit off. And, this is the date where these alignments and shifts are really supposed to be starting to line up.
Mm.
And, we see so much out there right now about the Mayan calendar that's so fear-based. I mean, they've even got a new movie coming out called 2012, I guess, that's going to be in the big theaters.
Oh, my.
And I saw a preview tonight, actually, while we were watching a movie. And the preview started off, what if, you know, they knew the end of the world was coming? What would they do to prepare the people? And it says they wouldn't. And then this big tidal wave comes and washes everything away. And it's called 2012. And I kind of just laughed. It's along the lines of all the stuff that Discovery Channel and everybody else has been putting out, just fear-based end-of-the-world type consciousness. And that's not what it's about, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, I agree with you. But, you know, it does seem that humanity is pretty much asleep.
Yeah.
And whether that's been partially or largely intentional by the controllers, or it's just the nature of you know, this particular period of time and the density of the planet, it doesn't really matter. The fact is, you know, we're you know, it's about bread and circuses while the empire falls.
Exactly, bread and circuses. Give them food and give them entertainment and just distract them with everything else. And, you know, most people don't pay attention to the things that are going on around them.
Exactly.
And even the little intuitive synchronicities in people's lives where, you know, they get that little experience of either deja vu or synchronicity where just for a moment it's a peek behind the veil where they realize that, wow, there's got to be more to this, but you're so bogged down in the material senses that most people just don't go any further because they're so busy running the rat race, they don't have time to take a break and actually contemplate reality or themselves.
That's right, that's right. And, of course, with the economic problems coming up, some people are doing two jobs and three jobs and just trying to stay alive. So that's kind of like a, you know, that's part of the rat kit wheel turning as well.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think that there would have to be some kind of shift away from the, you know, our need for material things. I mean, it seems like we've done this over and over, and it's about time that we, you know, start going in another direction, and it's going to take something major, I think, for us to do that as a whole.
It is. I really, you know, sometimes I take a look at everything, and, you know, you do a lot of work online with different forums and groups and just networking with people, emailing people all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I see stuff even in different, like, philosophy forums where philosophy itself and really what's taught in en masse, even with organized religion, is completely exoteric in nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
completely approved for consumption. And, you know, you're taught a certain thing, and most people don't ever look any deeper.
They go
and, you know, they'll go and they'll be told whatever about religion or philosophy or history, and they accept as what they're being told is the truth because it's being taught to them.
Mm-hmm.
But in these, you know, prestigious universities and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they completely discount. They don't even talk about the esoteric. And I forget who said it, but when it comes to, it was a quote about philosophy, where, as with everything, with the duality of human consciousness, there's two sides to everything. There's an inner teaching and an outer teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And one without the other is an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have all the outer knowledge you want, but if you don't seek to go deeper and find out for yourself and actually base your own personal belief systems on experience and personal knowledge from doing the work yourself, then that belief system needs to be thrown out the window.
Mm, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think a lot of people are, well, like you said, there's a combination of being too busy and just being lazy.
Right.
You know, we're busy watching American Idol and the games and this and that and the other thing. So, you know, we're afraid to lose our belief systems because, you know, then what?
I think that a lot of people are complacent and they get comfortable in their own. Most people, come on, with everything going on around us, with corruption at every level of every institution, be it religious, education, government, people see it, but they just ignore it, or they constantly keep trying to, you know, oh, well, we'll just go vote, or we'll just do this, or we'll just ignore it. And instead of actually being the change they want to see in the world, they just figure out it's too big to do anything about. I'll just continue on about my life.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not, you know, I think that we each have to be the change we want to see in the world. And that means just waking up saying enough is enough. And not going along with it. You know, doing things in your life every day and all your thoughts and actions to actually be the change you want to see instead of just going along with disillusion.
And part of that is letting go of situations that we really don't want, that we don't want to tolerate.
Correct.
You know, horrible jobs where we hate our bosses and have to punch a clock and, you know, we're extremely unhappy and living in fear of losing them.
Well, you know, what gets me about that is so many people that I know, I mean, you know, you ask somebody, who are you? And they define themselves by their job. Or I have a degree. Who are you? Oh, I have a degree in this, and this is what I do. No, who are you? Not what do you do for a living. What you do for a living is not who you are.
Right.
The car you drive, the house you own, the material things that you own aren't who you are. Who are you deep down? And most people can't answer that.
Yeah, that's right. That's a tough one.
They can't. That, you know, that puts them in the little conundrum where they're completely confused and they're like, oh, I never looked at it that way.
And of course you can continue on that line of questioning and say, well, you're not your body, you're not your emotions, you're not your thoughts.
And then you end up being 80 years old on the train out, questioning everything.
Yes.
Looking back at the what could have been, and wow. And, you know, I have a lot of people when you start to talk about the spiritual path who aren't really, you know, who aren't really either into it or they're just, they have questions. And I think one of the biggest misconceptions that's been thrown out there is, well, in order to attain spiritual enlightenment or just to find truth in general, because it's really the only reality there is that, well, you have to give up all the material pleasures. And I'm like, you know what? Personally, I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions that's been thrown out there. It's about self-control and self-discipline. It's about not overindulging in anything. It's about self-control. I mean, everything that's around us is here for us, but there's got to be a limit.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, you know, that's one of the biggest misconceptions out there, and I think that a lot of people are like, well, I just don't have the patience or the discipline to even try to question myself or my reality because I'm happy with my belief system because I know that if I question it, then I have to face some hard truths. Things aren't exactly the way I want them to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the biggest things, is that we have to stop looking at things the way we want them to be and look at them the way they really are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just don't kid ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, that's been my philosophy for a long time now, is that no matter what the truth is, I want to know what it is.
Correct.
About the realities that seem to be outside myself, but more importantly, what's going on inside.
Right.
And if there's something that I don't like about myself, then I need to be open to seeing it and, you know, making the necessary changes so that I can be the person that I would like to be.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there.
So how do you view where we're headed today and energetically what's happening in the world? It seems like there's a lot on the verge of kind of breaking, like the dam breaking.
Yeah, it looks like all the paradigms and all the different thought systems just seem to be breaking down across the board. And that's one of the things, like with the Mayan calendar being based on consciousness, that it shows throughout history that's going on many different levels and how the energies line up and during, you know, destructive or creative energies with different phases that humanity and the world has gone through. And I think, you know, we're in those patterns right now, and I think we're really coming to a head to where, like we talked about briefly before, was that I think everybody knows that something is very wrong.
Yes.
With the way things are being run at the top.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, you see the corruption coming out of the Roman Church. You see the corruption coming out of the economics. You see the corruption coming out of academia and out of government and out of every facet of what's supposed to be the foundation of society.
Right.
And, you know, I think people are really starting to question and take a look, but I think right now it's like a big staring contest.
Yeah.
And I think we're all just looking at each other going, somebody do something. Because, you know, all the different energy lineups. And I think, you know, one of the good things about quantum physics relating to the energy thing is that the ancient sciences, where the ancients were always aware that matter is just energy and light vibrating at a very slow rate. And they were aware, I mean, throughout the ages, they knew this. And it's, you know, science today is so steeped in materiality that they like to think that they're discovering these things.
Right.
To where they're really rediscovering these things. And, you know, you've got the quantum physicists now going, well, yeah, everything's energy and light. Nothing's actual matter. Our entire environment, everything around us is influenced by unseen forces and unseen energy. And I think if people could actually understand that on a mass level and take a step back from just being bogged down in the objective consciousness of the five physical senses.
Right.
That, you know, and, you know, actually have that aha moment where they can be like, oh, well, and, you know, I never looked at it that way.
Mm.
And actually, you know, I mean, what we're spoon-fed daily on such a mass scale
keeps
the majority of the population just entertained, like you said, bread and circuses.
Well, yeah, I just recently got the satellite television service, and after not having it for a long time, and at first, you know, I could tune out the commercials, but now it's like the second one, someone comes on, it's like, oh my God, I can't take anymore.
You know what I found my solution to that when I'm watching TV? DVR. I don't ever have to watch commercials. I get to fast forward to them all.
You know, I should have gotten a DVR player. It was only $5 more.
Oh, man.
And
I think what you mean, though.
Yeah.
And you take a look on it, the people who do the advertising in the media admit that they use subliminal messaging.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a psychological assault on the psyche of the average human.
Absolutely.
Where you're projecting 600 frames per second of mass fantasy out of this box.
Yeah.
They've done scientific studies that after an hour, you're in a trance-like state.
Absolutely.
Whether people want to admit it or not, you're sitting there staring at the box in a trance-like state. And you start to become very passive and very open to subjected imagery. And, you know, it's mind control.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's tons of good programming out there. It's all about how you use certain technology. But for the most part, like you said, American Idol and game shows and total distractions from everything going on around them.
Entertainment Tonight and so on and so forth. Who's
you know, people could tell you about Britney Spears and Paris Hilton every day, but most people don't know what's going on in the real world. It's this digital fantasy, this land of make believe out there.
Yeah, they don't know who they are.
Yeah, exactly. They're exactly.
We're living vicariously through what we think is the great life that these people have. But have you noticed some commercials too have started doing this? There's one that is really bad. It has about 20 or 30 different ads just strung in a row, and they just play one after another, one name brand after another, and you get just an assault of these images. You can't even turn the sound off on that one.
Have you seen the commercial they've got out there for Hulu, the online TV?
Yes. Thing?
Where they're like, we want you to watch Hulu and turn your brain into mushy goo.
Yeah.
While we mind control you. We're really aliens turning your brain to mush. And they're just openly saying, we want you to watch these television shows while we melt your brain.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that was true.
Yeah, it's so blatant. And people laugh at it. People go, oh, ha-ha, that's funny.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's like, that's not. It's very sad.
They're being really quite open and honest about it.
It's so blatantly out there that most people are like, oh, that's funny. It's kind of sad.
It is sad.
You got to give them credit. The people who kind of are controlling the illusion, like the Matrix, I guess is the best analogy.
Mm-hmm.
They're very proficient, and they're very good at what they do.
Yeah.
And they've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to give them a little bit of credit because they are good at it.
Absolutely.
And most people don't even know that they're subjected on a daily basis to just so much of this garbage.
And the fact of the matter is that the mainstream media is totally controlled, and we're not getting any really truthful information out there at all.
Oh, no, they spin it left, right. They've got their left-right slant and everything, and they're all really projecting the same story, but just enough to play the divide-and-conquer game.
Where
they split everybody down the middle so they can keep up this whole illusion of us and them, and you need us, and look at all the evil and fear in the world, and you need us to solve it, when really it's the people creating the problems are the people that are telling us they're going to come rescue us.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's like, wait a minute, it's quite the game you got going on.
Yeah, I think people are starting to see through that
yeah.
You know, all of the major wars and disasters and just about anything that wipes out human life has probably been engineered by somebody to create a profit.
Oh, yeah.
And they profit from both sides.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, it's just become pretty obvious at this point. And, well, one thing that you never see on the mainstream media that seems to be an absolute no-no is the chemtrail phenomenon.
Yeah.
I have yet to see anything on the major networks about it. So
yep.
they've got a pretty tight clampdown on, you know, on the information.
Oh, yeah. The only thing I've ever seen about that is that on YouTube from, like, local news
yeah.
out in California or something, and then it totally just disappears.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't talk about it.
Yeah.
You know,
the one
thing I did see was where they actually admitted they were doing something, but they said, oh, the spraying is for cloud cover to help against global warming, which man-made global warming is just another myth in itself. You know, I mean, climate change, one thing, happens
right.
naturally every 20,000 years on planet Earth.
Right.
But man-made global warming, engineered by the, you know, corporations to sell you new products that are green and are going to make billions in profit and pass carbon taxes and all this other stuff, that's all a scam.
Absolutely.
It's all a scam.
Absolutely. In fact, there's very little that isn't a scam.
I know. It kind of blows your mind. And people get so worked up about all these things because it's easy to manipulate a person's emotions.
Yes.
And if
right.
you can manipulate people emotionally, you can get them to believe anything. You tell them the sky is falling
yeah.
and that they need to save the earth, or the one of the best things that they use to manipulate people is save the children.
Because
who doesn't want to save the children, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, but it's so easy to manipulate people emotionally. And, of course, you've got their experts on television,
yep.
on
yep.
the mainstream media, in these, you know, colleges who come out and they're like, we're experts. This is what's really going on. And I've learned not to listen to those people.
Yeah, me too.
Because they're being paid probably a very good sum of money to tell you whatever they want you to believe.
Exactly.
You know, you've got all those scientists about global warming who believe it's a scam, and they've been told, well, if you publicly ostracize it, you'll lose all funding, you'll get blacklisted.
That's right.
And it's like, oh, wow, great.
And that's the part that we don't see and we don't hear and,
right.
you know, we don't know about. And, you know, there are certainly internet sites that indicate that the real technology that the governments have is so far beyond the stuff that we have.
Oh yeah.
That we wouldn't even recognize it. It would be like, you know, it would be like going into Jetson's land.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. that's all being used by very few. You know.
Yeah.
So. And then, of course, if you really want to dip into it, you know, you have the various three-letter agencies running drugs and using the money for black operations.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, yeah, the war on drugs and all of that is brilliant, again.
Yep.
I mean, pretty much everything has been engineered from the very top, and, you know, at the very top, you've got these agencies of, you know, black ops and... You know, the people at the UN and
yep.
these think tanks like the Bilderbergs and the Council on Foreign Relations and the
Trilateral
Commission, who, you know, who are run by the people with the real money,
yep.
who don't show up in the Forbes list like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's out there. And, you know, people like to use the word conspiracy, and they like to use it so that they don't have to face reality.
That's right.
I mean, by the very definition of the word, it's happening every day in business and government.
Yes.
And, you know, they throw theory on the end, and then they say, oh, that's on the Internet. Don't listen to them, because it goes against the status quo, and it goes against what is considered truth. And what's considered and taken for truth these days is a complete fabrication. It's a complete illusion. And, you know, it's just, I think people just think, oh, it's too big.
Yeah.
You know, what can we do to change? And it's always been small groups of people throughout history that have really brought true change.
Yeah, that's
And that's true. What people need to realize is that we have the power. You need and take your power back and not give your power and your energy away to other people, and to other things, and to realize that we're spiritual beings. I mean, this illusion that you can get past it. And, you know, the esoteric and the occult information that's been, you know, known since the ancients has been covered up very, very well over the last few years, you know, well, last 100 years or so. You know, into the 1800s, you still had the esoteric teachings, you know, out there to with more availability. And then I think, you know, something happened in the last 100 years to where it was like almost a campaign to where, you know, you mentioned the word occult to somebody, and you 9 out of 10 times, the first thing that comes to their mind is evil. Oh, that's evil. Well, no, it actually means hidden. And, you know, that's a very good public campaign to smear it, because, I mean, if you wanted to conceal information, what better way than to take what the information is and label it evil and the work of the devil. And it's horrible. You don't want to go at that to totally discredit it and then completely divert people's attention away to this is the truth and you need to believe what we tell you. You know, because, I mean, if people did know the absolute truths about what's really, you know, reality and spirituality and our connection to the divine, all this game would end. There would be, I think there would be a mass shift in consciousness almost instantly, you know, within a very short time.
Well, of course, that's what the 100th monkey theory proposes.
Yeah.
And I do believe that there is going to be a shift, but I don't know... I don't know how that's going to come about. I mean, I used to think I knew.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
You know, the longer I'm around, the less I know I know.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. It's, you know, every time you open another door, and you think you've learned something, another door opens.
Yeah,
the rabbit hole goes very, very deep.
Exactly, exactly.
And
but it does seem that we are in a matrix of some sort.
Oh, yeah.
And that everything is interconnected.
Yep.
And that the web of life, you can't do something to on one end of the web without connecting, you know, completely to the other end of the universe. I mean, everything has its implications.
Well, I think what we lose sight of is that, you know, we place ourselves above things. We think we own the earth. We think that we are, you know, the top of the line and intelligent beings.
Yeah, right.
And we go around selling everything. And if you take a look around, there's no real disharmony in nature or the universe. Everything is constant flow with the laws of the universe.
Yeah.
And the laws of nature, the laws of God, whatever label you want to give it.
Yeah.
But humans seem to fight against those natural laws and make up their own laws.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the only laws we can break are the ones we make ourselves. We can't go out there, you and me can't go out there and break the laws of nature, the laws of God. We can't do it. You know, there's no going against the laws of the universe. You know, cause and effect, attraction, vibration, all of that. It's set in stone.
Yeah.
And we try to, you know, fight against it and control things which are way beyond our control.
Yeah.
And,
well,
you know, we end up with self-esteem issues and depression and war and conflict and disease and all avenues of human life, and we sit around going, boy, I wonder why this stuff happens. And then we just blame it on human nature, and it's, you know, I kind of just shake my head every time I hear somebody say that, and I'm like, oh, man.
Right.
You know, it's...
Well, we have to take personal responsibility, and it's too bad in a way that we are disconnected from nature and that our consciousness is fragmented.
Yeah.
You know, if we could envision ourselves as one consciousness, in other words, as one mind, that all human beings are actually just one consciousness,
we're an expression
we might
of
begin
it.
To see things a little bit differently, but we experience ourselves as unique and terminally unique and fragmented. So then it becomes a game about, you know, getting more and having more and competition and duality. So
exactly. You know, you were right on with the personal responsibility. That's a big thing with me, and I touch on it in the book, and I've been trying to, you know, I've been saying that for years, is people need to take personal responsibility for their lives. And just stop blaming others for failures or shortcomings. Take personal responsibility for their thoughts, their actions. I mean, and it's not an easy thing to do after being bogged down in the illusion for so long. It's something we each have to work at.
Yeah, absolutely.
But once we realize, you know, these truths, and that we are much more than just, you know, who we've been told we are.
Yes.
We're able to express ourselves through consciousness and realize that we're all connected straight back to the first column, to the divine source of all creation, and that everything around us is an expression of divinity.
Mm-hmm.
It's an expression of consciousness. And like you said, we're all connected through this universal mind. We're all ideas and virtues of the one universal mind just expressing itself, manifesting in physical reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if people could realize and begin to actually co-create their own reality and take charge and just let go a little bit,
mm-hmm.
that they would come to these realizations and these truths and just, you know, find things out about the real nature of things, and I think we could start to work on solutions.
Well, you know, if we don't start doing that, it's going to be too late.
Yeah.
Because it's already, I mean, some people theorize that it was too late about 20 or 30 years ago.
Right.
I did some shows with somebody who does consciousness changing stuff, and she seemed to think that we'd already reached the turning point, that there was no going back, that this,
yeah.
that, you know, that there was no way that we could turn things around at this point. It would require absolute, you know, alignment with everybody. And
yeah.
you can see that there isn't alignment on any subject
at
all.
Yeah, we're all so divided.
We're just completely, constantly dueling and battling it out for some imaginary cause or some imaginary belief.
Exactly.
And it's just, and then Christianity in the far right has gone so bizarre.
Yeah.
I just saw that there's a Baptist minister who is doing some kind of prayer for the death of certain people because God told him.
Oh man.
Yeah. He and one of those happens to be the leader of the free world. You know.
Yeah.
So they're. You know, they've twisted everything around,
yep.
and, you know, people get, they start falling into these belief systems, but at some point, there has to be a divergence.
There has to be. I mean, you know, it's interesting you touched on that. I just wrote a new blog article last night. I actually put it on a new website that I got up about a couple weeks ago.
Oh, what is that website?
It's awakened1.net, awakened and the number one,
okay.
.net. And I'll tell you, I wrote a thing yesterday on pretty much on esoteric Christianity,
uh-huh.
and where there was this guy St. Augustine who was one of the founders of the Christian religion, and you know he said, and many others have said, that the religion that's known today as Christianity has always existed.
Uh-huh.
It was always known to the ancients. It just wasn't called that until this man Jesus came along.
Yeah,
and then you've got the actual teachings. Compared to what the church turned it into,
mm-hmm.
and it's like it's almost in confliction with each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it really is. I mean, there was an esoteric doctrine that he taught to the initiates or his disciples, and that he taught to the masses.
Mm-hmm.
And then the creation story. I mean, there's no mention of Christmas in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I mean, that's admitted by the Roman Church that it was created in the early days of Christianity to compete with the Roman feast for the god of Mithras.
Huh, interesting.
And they needed the ceremony around that time to compete with that, so there came that.
Well,
and
it certainly has made a lot of money for the corporations.
It's a great corporate holiday these days, I'll tell you. I mean, you know, you look at the man Jesus, the mystic, the
yes.
sage, the initiate, who was, he was initiated into the mysteries. He knew the esoteric truths.
Yes.
And then you look at the creation of the Christ, or Christos in Greek, which is the anointed one and the divinity aspect of all humans, and how they personified it, which has really happened in all religious things going back to Egypt, was personification of deity, and it was all based on the drama in the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
12-round one around the central sun and the winter solstice and spring with the resurrection giving life. And it touches on Osiris and Odin and the Dionysus and all the many of the world's creation stories and
mm.
birth stories of the Virgin Mothers, and it's not unique to Christianity. And it's like the true teachings of the sage, of the mystic, and the man that the religion was, you know, manipulated to supposedly be around are different. Most people they don't search any farther. You know, they're raised from a very young age. This is your faith, no matter what religion it is. And, you know, very few of us actually question and dig deeper.
That's right. That's right. And as you said, there is an exoteric or public version of everything, and there's an esoteric, which is the concealed or hidden version.
Right.
And with any kind of spiritual doctrine or movement, there exists an outer element and an inner element. And
right.
So the closer the initiate comes to the truth, the closer you are to the esoteric or the hidden or concealed truth, which apparently it's always been that way, that there are people who follow, you know, that they take things literally. That's how it is. It's the literal.
I think after Atlantis and all that, you know, my theory is that, you know, after the destruction, before the destruction, certain, you know, people left and went to different parts of the world, Egypt, the Mayans, India, Tibet, all, you know, they knew it was coming, they left.
Mm-hmm.
And then in those civilizations, it's almost like you see writing and reading and education and sciences just pop up almost instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like a different race or a different breed of humans, to where you had the really enlightened ones from Atlantis, and then you had the not-so-enlightened, the more indigenous, not to say not enlightened, but more indigenous, but who were unaware of what was going on with Atlantis and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that these initiates who were turned into, obviously, called gods. I mean, in the Mayan, you have Quetzalcoatl, who was the plumed feather serpent man, who was supposedly a white man of some kind, who came out of the water and taught the Mayans all this great stuff.
Yes, that's pretty bizarre, isn't it?
You know, and then that's their legend, that this guy wasn't even native.
That's right,
And then you've got Thoth.
Yeah.
In Egypt.
Yep.
And in Tibet.
Yep.
And even the Hopi Indians and the Native Americans here these people came out of the ground, out of the water.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, they brought us this information, but it's all the same thing.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's like, you know, you go back and you look at it, and people love to discount that theory and say, oh, well, Atlantis wasn't really even a thing until Plato came back and wrote a story about it.
Mm.
Well, Plato was initiated into the mysteries when he visited Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk to people who have degrees in philosophy or who went to college for it, and they're like, no, 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 because they don't know about that stuff. They're not taught that in philosophy class. They're taught the exoteric stuff.
That's it.
And, you know, they know nothing about it because they've never gone any deeper than what they were told. And then they got a degree in it, and then that's all they needed to know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man, it's just kind of sad that we stopped pushing ourselves, because I really think that knowledge and wisdom is the highest attainment that we have. It's our duty to learn
the truth
and to know this divine wisdom and to fulfill our destiny.
Well, I agree with you, and maybe it's just that some of us are born to be that way and end up just, I never thought I'd be talking about this stuff on the radio, but, you know, it's just out of curiosity. I always want to see what's around the next bend.
Right. You got to keep pushing the envelope.
Exactly. And, of course, that opens the box to ETs and UFOs and near-death experiences and the eternity of the soul, and I want to know who God is and where we go when we die. And, you know, it's an endless quest for the, you know, proverbial Holy Grail.
Exactly, for the philosopher's stone.
Yeah, and it's within us.
It is, and you know, I think one of the stigmas attributed to the whole esoteric doctrine and stuff is, you know, that there's obviously groups of people working very quietly behind the scenes, and there has been for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like we were mentioning before we went on there, something about the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these things are discounted. I mean, I just watched National Geographic just had a huge series of shows as Angels and Demons came out. And Dan Brown's book is based on half-truths and lots of fantasy and stuff all mixed together.
Uh-huh.
But National Geographic came out with this thing where they had like six shows completely debunking everything to do with secret societies and Illuminati and everything. And it just seems that it's very convenient at this time in history to come out on National Geographic or Discovery Channel or History, these, you know, well-respected networks, of course, because who's going to question that? Because it's the Discovery or the History Channel.
Right.
So they know their stuff. They must.
Right.
You know, but they have all these shows discounting everything.
Yeah, they're like, run by, you know, they're censored and run by the same
people. Exactly. And, you know, what better way? If people are getting too close to the truth, you have to launch a massive public relations campaign to debunk it.
Yeah.
Or at least to do your best to debunk it.
Yep. And
because
you've
got to plant that seed.
Yep. And one of the clever ways I've seen them do that on those particular shows is that they give you just enough of the truth.
Yeah.
And then they pull the rug out.
Yeah, exactly.
And completely negate it and plant a seed of doubt.
Yep.
So, you know, we're kind of being introduced to it, but then we're told, well, it's just a bunch of hooey.
I honestly don't know anymore really what 2012 holds in store. I don't believe it's an end of the world scenario. I don't believe it's, you know, the whole fear-based thing. I think it's a movement of consciousness. But I really think that it's up to us whether or not that happens.
Yes.
I don't think, you know, I've tried telling people for a while, we can't sit around and wait for some date on some calendar or some savior to come save us from ourselves. We can't do that.
Yeah,
we have to be the change we want to see. We have to save us from ourselves.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And we're the ones we've been waiting for. We're sitting around waiting for someone to come change it. Well, guess what? It's us.
Right.
If everybody would take a look in the mirror and realize the intensity of that statement that it is, it's us that's going to change it.
Right.
Then we can get down to business. And, you know, it's something that is guarded and manipulated, and the information is out there, but there's also so many roadblocks in the way to try to dissuade people from actually seeking the truth,
mm-hmm.
to where it's, you know, most people just give up or they're like, well, that's nonsense. I don't want to question it, because they don't want to question themselves.
Right.
And, you know, once you really question the very fundamentals, it can be ground-shattering after. I mean, I know how it was for me, thinking that everything was the way it was for so long and then realizing it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's life-changing, but you have to man up and you have to do what you need to do and, you know, kind of move on and start to actually accept the truth. And I mean, we're spiritual beings here having human experiences.
Exactly.
It's not the other way around.
Exactly. So it's a complete shift in the perception.
It is. It's a complete shift. And once we realize that, guess what, we've got the power and that we're not these just helpless little five-sense physical beings walking around waiting for the train to come take us home, you know?
Exactly.
There's so much more to life and there's so much more connectedness. And it's magical.
It is magical. And then you also find out that we may be non-local beings, that we...
Yeah.
Are far more vast than you know, our field, the field that surrounds us, that we're not just this body, but we could be literally everything that is.
Yeah, exactly.
In the quantum field, we can tap into that.
Yeah, one big holographic reality.
Yeah. So,
imagine that. Imagine what we can do when we put our minds to it.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's been shown what meditation groups have done.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
getting 50 or 100 people together and intensely meditating on a subject,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, focusing on something and actually bringing about change. Imagine what we can do if we get a couple thousand.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can make some things happen.
Yeah, I would think so.
You really can.
And it seems that there's a growing movement now to make things happen.
Yeah.
According to the Mind Calendar, we are in... the latter part of the sixth day, I believe.
Yeah, we are. The latter part of the sixth day now, the creative energy. And this is, I think, like, I wrote a little bit about it in the book. And I wrote the part on the Mayan calendar I wrote back in 2007 about how we were going to see economic hardships and how we were going to see almost like a last-ditch effort to completely control everything.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got... everything openly calling for new world order because of the economic crisis and a continuation of all these just horrible programs that,
oh yeah,
you know, I mean, these puppet politicians take their orders. There's no surprise there. They do what they're told. I don't care who they are, what label they put themselves under.
Yeah.
They do what they're told.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
It's coming down to the part where you see them openly now calling for, like, this whole new world order. And that's great because we, on one level, we do need to come together as humanity.
Mm.
But people have been sold the new world order fear, control grid aspect for so long that whenever anybody talks about coming together as humanity, putting aside our differences and coming together as one people on one earth, people kind of get a little antsy because they've been fed so much fear-based, you know, fear anybody that's different than you.
Mm.
The illegal immigrants running across your border to come steal your jobs.
Mm.
The other nations, you know, they're different. You got to fear them. Guess what? We're all human beings.
That's right.
You know, this is one planet, one earth. We're all human beings created by the same creator. And we have a duty to ourselves. We need to set the profit level at our survival instead of pieces of paper with numbers printed on it if we want to fix things.
Yep, I really do believe that the whole economic system has to become unraveled.
It does. I mean, I think not only that, but the whole control matrix
absolutely
needs to be exposed from the top down.
Yeah.
For what it is, I mean, these human laws that we create to impede personal freedoms, to tell people what you can and cannot do because some king or queen or high politician sitting in their ivory tower says you can't do that. You know, it's...
Yeah.
You can't impede other people's free will.
Yeah, yeah. And
you just
yeah.
cannot do it. Your karma's going to be horrible. But we've got to have creativity. We've got to have openness. We've got to have the truth revealed on a mass scale. And I know some people in the esoteric and occult community would say, no, that's not a good thing. But I really think at this point in humanity, it's either we're going to destroy ourselves,
mm-hmm.
or Mother Nature's going to set things right,
mm-hmm.
or we need to reveal truth, no matter how shattering that may be to some people's egos,
mm-hmm.
and we need to start educating people
mm-hmm.
in reality, in truth, so that we can get on with it, to shatter the illusion, and get on with it, and do what we're here to do.
Well, I think that nexus point is coming.
I really do.
You know, the sixth night, supposedly the bookend to the fifth night, which was the beginning of the financial collapse.
Yep.
And I think that the sixth day kind of brought us back. It's kind of like a plane that's headed for the ground, and then it kind of levels off, and oh, whoa, it didn't hit the ground.
Right.
But then now it's, as we get into the sixth night.
Yep.
It's going to start sputtering, and it will hit the ground, and that's when the depression will hit. And,
oh, yeah. Oh,
you know,
yeah, we're definitely heading for a depression.
There's no question about it.
I think right now, just on the economic, and I think the economic thing is going to expose a bigger picture to all of this for many people.
Yeah,
it's going to get them to question the bigger picture.
And what?
Right now it's like a train's heading for us.
Yeah.
And everybody in Washington is saying, oh, that's not a train. That's just like a Volkswagen buggy. Or we've already been hit by the train and run over, and we've had our legs crushed. And they're like, oh, just get up and walk it off.
Right,
no, nothing
right.
there. See, look, we got a spike in the Dow today. Things are getting... It's not. I'm telling you, know,
yep.
many of us, we were talking about this back in 2006, 2007, via
yep.
email, that there's going to be coming an economic crisis, and it's not going to be made public till like 2008.
Yep.
And, you know, here it comes, and then, you know, then we weren't so crazy anymore.
Yep.
I guess that intuitive sense that opens you up that there's going to be shifts in consciousness that are going to change things on a world stage.
Yes.
And people need to be ready for it so that they're not sucked into that fear aspect, running around like a chicken with their head cut off, wondering what to do.
Yes, absolutely. Not to mention, you know, the shift in the Earth, awareness. I mean, I consider the Earth to be an entity in her own right.
Yeah, everything in the universe is alive.
And everything's alive.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she's on her own path,
yep.
and we're on her, and so, I mean, we could be shaken off like a bunch of fleas if she wanted to.
I think that's what people need to realize, is that all of creation follows the same laws,
mm-hmm.
and we need to look at it as one, including ourselves, as one complete organism,
yes.
not something separate.
Yeah.
And we're all in this together,
yep.
and we're on the same path, we're all trying to do the same things, and once we realize that, I think we can start to make progress.
Yep.
And hopefully change things. But the path we're on now, sometimes I have doubts still.
And well, I do.
You know, on occasion, I look at things, and, you know, especially now, I just had a baby girl a couple weeks ago, and I look at her, man, and it makes all this seem that much more real now.
Yeah, I bet.
It's just like, wow, I look forward to being able to teach her about consciousness, about truth.
Because
I really think that once we get past this big bump in the road, it's coming, and it's coming within a few short years.
Yes.
We're going to have to really take a good look around, and I think everything's going to be shaken up.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this world needs,
absolutely.
Unfortunately, because you can't just tap someone on the shoulder to get their attention anymore.
No, this has been going on for too long, and it's got to. There needs to be a complete revival of spiritual consciousness and unity.
Well, nature has its way of making things right, the natural order of things.
That's right.
And
that's right.
The harder we fight against it, thinking we own it,
that's
and
right.
We're in control, we got a big root of weight. Those people who aren't aware. And it's not even, people say it's spiritually or religious or whatever. It's reality.
Right, right.
It's the reality of the interconnectedness to everything, from the first cause of everything that is God, the name that we give to this creator, the source of all that is.
Yeah.
Everything emanates out as a manifestation or an expression of that divine first cause. And the sooner that everybody realizes that everything is connected and that there is no separation there, it's all that any separation we perceive is an illusion.
Yes.
And that
and
all of this is connected, and once we stop fighting against everything, things start to flow and manifest and just go smooth.
Yes, and that hatred and intolerance and judgment
in
the name of that creator is man-made. It is not coming from
man-made.
The source.
Yeah, my definition of God has come to be the first cause of everything, the source, and the all is in all, and all is in the all.
Okay.
We're connected, and I think, God is this label that we give to this incomprehensible, divine energy, it's the consciousness behind all consciousness, the law behind all laws. I don't think it's not a man in the sky. It's something that we can't perceive, but it's much bigger than any of us.
Yeah.
And it's the thing that animates everything and gives everything its virtue and its truth.
Yeah.
And I think once we stop trying to pretend that we, that God favors one certain group of people or one nation, or that my God's better than your God, and that's the source of humankind's wars and strife.
Yeah, we're creating our own suffering.
We're creating our own suffering. We've got intolerance and racism and all this stuff that we've created, all these differences we've created. When I'm no different than somebody living in a hut in Africa or somebody floating down a river in India.
That's right.
We're all the same.
That's right.
And, once we can realize these creative differences and these countless isms that we've come to invent to, make ourselves feel safe and just get past it, we can really start to move on and expand our consciousness to really realize that we are all one creation.
Yeah.
And we're all blessed. We're all blessed to be here, and we need to start acting like it.
Do you think that you're what's your little girl's name?
Trinity.
I like it. It could be from The Matrix.
we thought about that after we picked it.
But I like it anyway, because I think Trinity was a cool character. But I see the Trinity, I can see the three in one.
Yeah, once we picked out the name, and we've written down a bunch of names, and I saw it, and she saw it, and I was just like, that's so fitting.
Oh, that's great, that's great. Do you think, do you have any intuitive feelings that she might be one of the special kids? The
I think she's going to be pretty gifted.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. I think I knew that before she even came.
Well, a lot of the parents, the mothers are saying that they communicate with the soul or the spirit of their child even before inception.
Yeah.
And then they have telepathic communications or psychic communications with the child while they're in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not surprising, and they're coming in so much more enlightened.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what?
Well, we're evolving.
We're evolving.
We're still evolving spiritually.
I wouldn't be surprised if the little kids had to lead us out, because we've become so befuddled by our own illusions that we need an innocent... all the tales, they always say it's the pure one, the innocent one. Well, I think we really need that.
Well, I think one of the things, and I mean, to really understand things, and it's one of the quotes that I do like from the scriptures, was that what Jesus tried telling his initiates, and what many people in the esoteric and occult field have always said, that in order to find truth, you have to have the mind, you have to be like little children, with the mind uncorrupted, open, and you need to put all your preconceived notions aside, because if they're not based on direct experience, you need to shatter them.
Yep.
And if you go in at it with an open mind, uncorrupted and unbiased, and of course have the mind of a skeptic, because that's the best thing to do, to be open to everything.
Right.
But if you can go in with the mind of a child and look at everything like you're looking at it for the first time, and then research it and study it and experience it and then draw your conclusion, you'll walk away with truth.
Yes. What do you think of the idea that the return of Christ is really is not going to be an individual being, but will be the level of Christ consciousness that that we will attain as a collective?
It is. I think that the Gnostics, the Gnosis, the Hermetic teachings, a lot of the esoteric truths revolve around that. That it is a consciousness, that Christ, that Jesus, the man. You know, the title Christ was given to him later.
Right.
And Jesus the man was just one of the many incarnations of enlightened beings.
Exactly.
And I think there's been thousands of us.
Yeah.
Millions of souls that have come back. And, you know, the goal is that we have to wake up and realize what we're here for. And this is for everybody.
Yes.
And realize that we are all capable of that.
Yep.
And that each one of us is a divine, enlightened being. We just got to get past this coma we're in, and wake up to reality and realize that we're all the same, and we're just expressions of this divine mind in different forms. And once we realize that, well, guess what? we're it.
Yeah,
we can start to move on and do what, you know, the great teachers like the Buddha and Jesus came to try to teach everybody, that we can all do what they did.
And time to start loving one another.
Exactly. Love over fear in every instance.
Exactly.
I think our good friend Follis puts it out the best, and I've used this acronym a lot, and I know a lot of us have. Fear stands for false evidence appearing real. It only exists in the mind, and that's it. Fear only exists in the mind.
Well, that seems like a good place to segue off into finding out where people can reach you so that they can get your book and read your blog and so on and so forth.
Like I said, awakened1.net.
Okay.
Inner Vision Crystals is my business that, you know, I've been fortunate enough to find a hobby so that I can kind of get away from working for the man.
Good for you.
And be able to come work at home so that I can have more time to study and, you know, focus on this path.
Wonderful.
The book's up on the awakened1.net, and that's got links to the blog, and I've actually got a blog and a bunch of information on there. It's got like 8 or 9 pages on it.
Wonderful. Well, Michael, the hour has flown by again, and I thank you for being on the show and for spreading the word and spreading your light and consciousness and truth.
Thank you, Lance.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
And thanks to all who are listening, and awaken. Good night, Mike, and good night, everybody.
Good night, Lance.